welcome you this morning to our worship service in Toronto, Canada. We want to begin with a well-known hymn by Horatio Spafford, It is well with my soul. Let's sing to the Lord's praise today. Let's bow, please, our hearts and our heads before God in prayer today. Father, as we come into Thy most holy presence today, at the very beginning of our service, we ask for the help of the Spirit of God in our worship, in our praying, the reading of the Word of God. Father, as we worship, gathering around the Scriptures to have the Word impressed upon our minds and hearts. Our Father, we lift our praise, our worship. We say, Lord, we give thanks for what we have been singing about just now, for that peace that passes all understanding. And the great fact, Lord, that today, now, in Christ, we have peace, Lord, with You. And we know that there is no force, no power in heaven, in earth, under the earth, that can take that away from us. For we are united in an everlasting bond of the love of Christ. And today, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what circumstances are affecting us, Lord, we are certain and sure, with that knowledge that is not temporal, man-made, intellectual only, but it is that knowledge that is God-given. And Father, we rejoice today that we know Him who has loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, today we come to give that praise from our heart, so often feeble and weak, and yet by the Spirit of God, presented in the merit of Christ, we are able to boldly come into Your holy presence. We're able to boldly, with authority, approach heaven itself. And Lord, to know that we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in Christ and through all His work. And so today we lift our hearts. We come, Lord, to magnify, to worship the God of heaven. For Lord, what peace You have given to us, it cannot be manufactured. Oh, sometimes the devil would tempt us with an image, a representation, something that's bogus. But Lord, we know today that nothing can replace and come into the heart of a man but the peace of God that passes all understanding. I ask today that in our service, in our time of worship, that Lord, You would grant that to every one of Your children abundantly. And Father, for those who are outside of Christ, they're not saved, Lord, bring them by faith into that living relationship with Christ. For that's the only way, Lord, that peace can be found in a troubled world. So hear our prayer today. Receive our thanksgiving. Lord, we do give thanks for the blessings of this past week, mixed with sadness and sorrow and departure. Father, we give praise for the funeral service on Thursday of our brother Sam, giving praise, Lord, because of his life and the blessings that he has been to us. Lord, I pray the great comfort of the Spirit would be upon every family member. Draw very near to them and help them. Remember, Lord, the unsaved loved ones and family members that heard the Word. And yet, Father, You would do a great work of salvation in their hearts. Dear Father, we pray that other families who have recently been bereaved would know Your comfort and help. And Father, we bring the sick ones before You today. And we pray that You would undertake and help them. We think of our sister Flora, Emmanuel's dad, Flora's husband, that You would be with him now in hospital. You would help him. You would touch his body and bless him. And Lord, You would raise him up to health and strength again. We're thankful for Your hand upon Henry Lee and our sister Kathy, for Your ongoing help for brother Tony Puccini, and Lord, for many others who have long-term sicknesses, long-term illnesses. Come near them, help them, keep them stable on their feet. Bless the elderly and those that are just struggling to maintain life, Lord, and just get around from A to B. Bless them and help them. We think, Lord, of others who have emotional troubles, some who have spiritual problems. Lord, teach us all to cast our care upon the Savior, for Thou hast promised to care for us. Ah, Lord, be very, very near and help us today. Remember, not only our service is here as we are gathering, but we pray for every one of our sister congregations, Canada, the United States, our missionaries. Bless them all. Remember every faithful tongue that is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to the Word of God, preaching the love of Christ, taking their stand for gospel truth. Bless them, Lord, abundantly. Bring a great ingathering of souls today. And Father, we do not want to forget to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in persecution in the countries where there is no gospel, liberty, and freedom, maybe in jail, under the threat of death. We pray, Lord, much for them. Remember the underground church in China today. Remember the works in India, the Christians who are there, many people suffering greatly. We think of the work in Nepal, praying again for Brother Thapa, and comfort to be upon the family that has lost loved ones there. Lord, just multiply the gospel witness and let us rejoice, hearing of salvation, hearing of the sound of abundance of spiritual rain. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon us, we ask. Bless us, each one, every family. Give us household salvation. That's our longing and desire. Give us so that all of our family members not only will be saved, but will be going on with the Lord, glorifying God, fulfilling Your perfect will in our lives. So, Father, hear all of our prayers and many, many more. Receive our thanks now today. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. We're singing Psalm 119, please, Selection E. Thank you. Turning, please, in our Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. Reading from verse 4 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your patience be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. May God bless His Word to our hearts today. And you know, the blessed jewel of Christian contentment is not something that comes to us naturally. No, even when we are born again of the Spirit of God, it is one of those graces that comes with experience, comes with the learning. The Apostle said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. In other words, he had to go through times where it didn't come so easily to him. And I think that we all can look at the example of the Apostle Paul and said, well, Lord, I'm thankful that if he had to learn it, and I sense in my heart that I need to learn that, that God will accelerate that education in our own hearts. We will come to the point of realizing that God's blessing on us is not necessarily evident because of our times of wanting or times of need. Paul said, I have come to the place where if I'm hungry, I will praise God. If I am full, I will praise God. I have learned, and I pray, Lord, you would teach me more of that blessed and holy gospel contentment that is so absent in the world, for sure. But sadly, believers, sometimes it's very absent in our own hearts. And we have to say to the Lord, I need teaching. I need grace to teach me that very important lesson. May the Lord be with you all and bless His Word today as we have read. This past Thursday, we had a funeral in our church for our brother Sam McAnally. It was a difficult time to say farewell to a dear loved one, a faithful member of our congregation for so many years, a man's life that touched so many others, and yet we did know the Lord's help and presence in the service. It was one of those, again, difficult times where only family could be gathered in the church because of the restriction of numbers, but I know that many were able to view the service online, and well, we know that your hearts and your prayers have been with the family as well. Let me read out this little note of thank you from the family to the congregation. Dear TFPC family, we would like to sincerely thank you all for your love and support during Sam's illness and passing. Your phone calls, emails, text messages, and cards have been a great comfort to us. It is a blessing to know that there is a faithful, praying church family holding us up to the Father in our times of sorrow. With Christian love, the McAnally family, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So, continue please in your prayer for the family during this time, and thank you very much for that very appropriate note today. Want to ask you to remember the husband of Flora, Christopher, and also Emmanuel. Glad you're here today with us. We're praying very much for their dear husband and father, and he's in hospital at this time and needs your prayers. So we would ask you please to remember this man and this family before the Lord at this time. We have a number of sick ones in our congregation, elderly, that we have been praying for. And we ask you as a church family to please continue to hold them up before the Lord very much in your prayer. Wednesday evening, we were remembering a family in the Cloverdale Church, the Balfour family, and little baby Barbara, prematurely born with several complicated health problems. And we would just please ask you to pray for this little baby. And please pray for the mom and dad, because it's very, very difficult for them during this time. Remember the congregation as well in Cloverdale as they carry this burden along with this family. Let me remind you, please, of some important services coming on not only today, but also through this week. Remember our pre-service prayer time on Zoom at 5:50 and our evening service at 6:30. And then Monday afternoon at 4 p.m., we have a Whitfield Christian School committee meeting. And then please remember the church prayer meeting Wednesday, 7:30, for our time of Bible study and seeking the Lord earnestly in our prayer. We're going to sing another hymn today. We're going to sing a hymn. You don't have it in your hymnal, but I want you to please join in these words that are on the screen and in front of you. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel 14, reading from verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world hath found nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." God bless His word to us this morning. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, I pray that for those in the service, gathered around at their homes, there would be a stillness now, that we would be settled, taking away every distracting thing from our minds. For this brief time we have remaining in our service, blessed Holy Spirit, come, open my heart to the Word. Give me the power that is not my own, Lord, the anointing, the fresh oil, the Spirit of God, to communicate, to speak, to convey the truth, Savior's words, the Word, Lord, that comes directly from Yourself. Hear my prayer today. I ask that there would be help given to every believer, and Lord, that saving help given to every unsaved person listening today. Lord, do a great work of conviction, conversion, and consolidation of the Word to every heart. Hear now our prayers. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. We were just singing some words, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting just now in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. I wonder if that's your testimony just now as a believer. Is it your testimony in the twists and turns of life? We all know too well that when you listen to news on the TV or some feed that comes through your computer, secular news, world news, there is an unending stream of upset, turmoil, terrorism, warfare, earthquakes, starvation, and the list goes on. Murder in our streets, drug abuse, suicide, marriage breakup, families dissolving inside because of problems here, problems there, health issues. And my friends, that isn't even touching the COVID issues that have inundated us through the news over this last year plus. So when you consider the turmoil in the world, whether it is natural disasters of tornadoes or man-made problems of terrorism and all of the things that go in between all those domestic disorders, the world is in a mess. It's in a great problem today. When we say about today, we're talking in our time because this is the real time that you and I know about. But if I was to be speaking and preaching 100 years ago, as I have read often in the sermons of Mr. Spurgeon, he would talk about the evils that were prevalent in England, London in his day, and in the world at his time. And you go 100 years before that to the days of George Whitefield, and you would find that there was a repeated notion and a repeated report from whatever news that they would receive of man and the world that is upside down with sin and warfare and anguish. And if you go back to the days of the Reformation, or the days of Reformation days even following from that, and the persecution that the church has gone through and is coming through today, wow, it's an unending litany of problems. And with the world upside down and torn apart, the devil, who is the god of this world, seems to have the upper hand. He seems to be having his fill of all things that are against God and against decency and proper order. And of course, that is the purpose that Satan has, to overturn and upset that everything God has made that is good and right and orderly. Satan wants to make it wrong and upside down and disorderly. And the problem that we know too well, the world does not know how to spell relief. It does not know how to spell peace. But here's one, the big problem, friends, that even Christians sometimes, we have a difficulty knowing how to spell the word peace. Because our hearts can be affected by the things that are going on around us. We can be strongly affected by sickness in the family, bereavement in the home. We can be affected by the issues of health and COVID, and the constant pounding and pounding of bad news upon bad news upon worse news. And sometimes we can all be overwhelmed too, Christians. And friends, I think it's so important for us that when we are faced with these issues internally in our hearts and our minds, and it can push us down with a huge pressure, we wonder, Lord, is this the way that we are supposed to function in our life? Is this what You have for us, Lord? Or can we come to the point where the Apostle Paul was able to say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content? Do you know that the Apostle Paul was giving you a definition of peace? He had experienced the very words that Christ had spoken to His disciples before He was crucified. Because the words of our text in John 14, verse 27, these words that Jesus said, peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Paul knew the experience, the truth, the reality, the healing of those words. And when our Lord spoke them just hours virtually before His crucifixion, He spoke them to His disciples, and He was comforting their troubled and distressed hearts. Jesus had been speaking to them about His departure, His crucifixion. They did not understand, they didn't comprehend what He was meaning. And their hearts were sorrowful because He said, I am going away from you. But Lord, You are our Master and our King. We have come to so be drawn to You in these last 3 years as they were united in His earthly ministry. Now He's leaving them. And He's saying, where I go, you cannot come. And those words were so difficult for them to understand and to comprehend. And their hearts were troubled. Their hearts were fearful. Their hearts were distressed. How were they to be expected to survive after He left them? My friends, the great truth of the Prince of Peace that He spoke to them were the words that have echoed into the hearts of the children of God from the day they were spoken unto this very day where we are now in this service this morning. Because the words of the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace, they are still valid. Could we say they are more valid today? As we are stepping closer and closer to the end of time, to the end of the world, these words become more precious to us. As Satan, the prince of the power of the air, as the God of this world, who is working all of his forces, spiritual wickedness in high places, behind the scenes of the visible eye, he is working and maneuvering to corrupt, to destroy, to ruin. And as his time comes closer to an end, his activity is increasing. And so, friends, today, you and I need, we need to have this truth so stamped into our hearts as never before. The world, they think they know how to spell peace, or they will try to, but it's really inspired by the God of this world. And so He will say, yes, I will show you the path of peace. You want peace? I'll give you peace, the devil says. Satan would map out his peace treaties. But how vain, how deceptive, how empty they all are, friends, today. They amount to being absolutely meaningless and worthless. There's no healing. There's no help in those words that the devil and the world brings. But Christ has said, and let His words sink into your mind today, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can rest upon this wonderful peace today, this glorious peace, this peace that passes all human understanding, because it is divinely sent, it's divinely given, and it is divinely kept in the heart of the child of God. You notice in the first place today from our text, Christ Jesus is the source of this peace. For He said to His disciples, His people, "My peace, my peace." This peace belongs to Christ. It is the peace of God. Because when Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," we fully believe and understand the doctrine of the deity of Christ Jesus. He is not only the Son of God, but He is God the Son. We declare the Trinity of the Scripture, of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And so when Christ is saying, "My peace I give unto you," what is He declaring other than it is the peace of His Father in heaven? It is the peace of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that He was communicating to the disciples. The Comforter that He said is going to be given to you as a gift of the Father. When Christ would leave, the Comforter would come. And what would He do? He would bring the peace that Jesus is just talking about. "My peace." Our Savior is the fountain of peace, of joy, of satisfaction. Friend, don't miss that. God Himself, Psalm 16, verse 11, He is the fountain of all peace, the fountain of all joy. And when you find your reality in Him, you will know that the Lord is the one who is able to cover you with His wings of love and protection, but He infuses into us His peace that we cannot define and that is not understood by the unsaved person. Every fountain, you know, has a source. And the source of this fountain is Christ Jesus Himself. He said, "My peace." Others will advertise peace, but they are all very miserable imitations. They're all counterfeit. They're all like these telemarketers that phone trying to sell you something. And as soon as you hear one or two of them, you realize the whole thing's a scam. It's all bogus. They're trying to sell you some great product, but you realize they're only trying to deceive me. They're not true people. They're not true sellers of anything that's of value. They're just scam artists. And so, friend, when you hear the devil speaking peace to your heart, don't be deceived by it. It's a lie. And can I say to you, friend, if you are not a Christian today, that you do not have the peace of God in your heart, but what you have is an imitation. You have something the devil puts forward to give you a satisfaction. Because really, people are desiring to have peace in their heart. Nobody really wants to be at war in their own heart unless they are completely fulfilling and sold themselves out to the devil's work. But man in general wants to have a peaceful life. They want to have things their way. They want to have bounty and plenty, and they want to have all the blessings of life and of the pleasures of life. But that's exactly what the devil puts forward as being the answer to the need of the heart. And he puts forward that as being peace. But that's a lie. It's an imitation. The devil is just being a telemarketer to you. He's trying to sell you something, a bill of goods. But it's not true. You must come to the source of who is putting forward the peace that's being talked about, to see whether it's legitimate or not. Christ Jesus is the only one who is able to give peace to your heart. Do you know, of all the attributes that mark the perfection and beauty and glory of our Lord Jesus, I think the description of Isaiah 9 verse 6 is one of the greatest ones, because that is a messianic prophecy. A child will be born, a son will be given, and the government would be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of peace. That designation given to the Son of God, given to the Christ of God, the designation so summarizes the work that He came to do. He came to make peace between God and sinful man. And when Christ Jesus went to the cross, He took the hand of God and the hand of sinful man, and through the Lord Jesus united us to Him, and so that the peace of God flows down into the life and heart of man. Today, friend, if you have Christ in your soul, in your life, then you have this peace that Jesus is talking about here. You have been made connected to God through the Prince of Peace. Satan has always been for war. Do you remember when the account of David being chased out of Jerusalem when Absalom took over the throne, or at least he attempted to? And he was amassing and gathering all the people that were around him. And as David took his household together and the faithful soldiers that protected him, and they made their way over the brook Kidron, David uttered a prayer. Because Ahithophel was with Absalom. Ahithophel was among those who were the conspirators. And God said, cause the counsel of Ahithophel to be turned. Because David said, this man spoke words of peace openly, but do you know what was in his heart? War was in his heart. And the amazing thing is that David did not appear to know this when he was having close relations with Ahithophel. He was a counselor to the king. He walked up to the house of God to worship the Lord. And Ahithophel knew how to play all the scene correctly. He was one of those telemarketers. He was a scam artist. And he came very close to the man of God. And he spoke to him all the glowing words of peace. But in the heart of that wicked man was warfare. And he intended to overturn the empire. And at the first opportunity he got, he united with Absalom. the conspiratorial king. You see, my friend, Satan comes forward with words of peace, but in his heart there is always and only warfare. And he comes to speak these words, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And God tells us in Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And that starts right at the very fountain of the wickedness. There's no peace in the devil. There is only warfare and anger and hatred and bitterness found in the heart of the wicked one. And as he comes forward to present his bill of goods, his commodity for sale, friend, do not buy into it. But understand that there will be no peace for those who have chosen that pathway for the wicked. But there is only peace to be found in Christ Jesus. He is the author of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It is Him that we lift up and exalt today, friend. And I say to you, let the peace of God of Christ flood into your soul. And it will pass, it will surpass all your understanding. It will keep your heart and your mind. The peace of God is something that has been promised to His people. It wasn't just in the days of Christ and His apostles, because God has intended peace for His people from the beginning. The devil came into the Garden of Eden and overturned the peace of God by his temptations and his desire for death. But even back in the days of Abraham, in Genesis 15, verse 15, it says this, God said to him, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age." And that word to Abraham was a word to God's saved servant, for Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham had a living relationship with his Father in heaven. And God said to Abraham, when your life comes to an end on this earth, you will go in peace. And you will come unto my place in the peace that I have given to you. Friend, do you have today the peace that Abraham knew? Do you have the peace that David, King David, in his heart knew? For he said in Psalm 119, verse 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and in nothing shall they be offended." Oh, I pray that truth would be fulfilled in my own soul. Because I want more and more to love and to esteem the Scriptures, the Word of God. And the Lord has promised us, great peace have they that know thy law. But friend, you cannot have the law of God in your heart unless you have the Christ of the law as your Savior in your heart. Yes, He is the author and the finisher. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, we're told these great words, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And you know, that repetition of the word perfect peace, in Hebrew, it is simply the word peace repeated. Peace, peace. And isn't it interesting that when God says He will give peace doubled to His people, perfect peace, that's the very same imitation that the devil comes along to say, "Oh, wait a minute, I will also give you peace, peace." He's always trying to mimic and imitate the things that God does perfectly, and he distorts them. And so, friend, if you're a believer in Christ today, then you have the peace of God through the Holy Spirit in your hearts. But if you do not know Him today, you do not have this peace. And your life is upside down. And not only will your unsaved soul be upside down in this life, and you will not have God's peace in you, but when it comes to the day of your death, and you come, friend, to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord, then you will know absolutely no peace for eternity. For you will be cast off from the Lord. You will be separated from God for all eternity in a Christless hell. Friend, it's time now to make your calling and election sure. It's time now to be sure that you are ready to meet God when you die. We rejoiced on Thursday as we were rehearsing the life of our brother Sam McAnally. We heard testimony after testimony of how the Lord had worked in the life of this man from a younger teenage boy until his oldest of years. And the Lord had kept him. He had the peace of God in his heart. He knew what it was to be saved by faith. And that testimony has been repeated over and over again for every Christian that comes to the day of their death and they know the peace of God in their heart. Charles Wesley said to his brother John, "Our people die well." And why do they die well? They die well because they have the peace of God in their heart and they know they're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And there is a settled joy in the heart of the child of God. No, we don't look forward to die in that sense. We may not be too anxious about how we're going to die, by a car accident or some sudden death or a heart attack. No, we don't look forward to dying. But there is, friend, in the reality of death, there is the joy and the knowledge that I have peace with God and I have joy in my heart and I'm going to be with the Lord forever and forever. And what a glorious hope that we have in Him today. Would you notice, please, in the second place this morning, that this peace that Jesus gives, it is our inheritance. He said, "I give unto you." An inheritance is a nice thing. If you're signed up on the will of someone, family member, mother, father, who's got the children signed up on their will, maybe some near niece or nephew, maybe someone who has been removed by a long distance, and they're on the will maybe too by a reason. An inheritance can be a very nice thing. This inheritance surpasses every other type of inheritance because this inheritance is meaningful in the heart and life and mind of the one who has been given it. Christ Jesus, when He said, "I give unto you," it's a very simple word, the word "give." It's used numerous times. I don't think there could be a simpler word used in the New Testament that's repeated over and over time. It simply means what it says, and that's what the Lord means. When He said to His disciples, "I give unto you," it was a lasting heritage. It was a lasting inheritance. It was not something that could be spent within a few years, as many inheritances are, and they're wasted by those who receive them afterward. No, this inheritance is not something that we can exhaust. We cannot plumb the depths of it. We do not know the heights of it. Jesus said, "I give unto you my peace." And it comes to us from the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The one who said, I am giving this to you, and you cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. It's a gift, friend. It's an inheritance. It's possible, you know, that we may lose out with an inheritance that is given to us naturally. We may lose out in a couple of ways. We may lose out because, well, we didn't get as much as you might have thought you deserved to get. Or maybe whatever you got, it didn't really fill the need, and so it was consumed or burned up very, very quickly, and it came to an end. It may be a fact that the inheritance that you have, well, circumstances have just meant that the supply ran out before it was intended. But that can never happen with the inheritance that Christ has promised to us, friend. Because the peace that God gives is a peace that surpasses everything that is natural and physical, and the things that the physical man thinks are going to supply the need and make him happy and satisfied. The peace of God is that which fills the void in the heart of a man, a woman. And when Jesus said, I'm giving this to you, it is an inheritance that goes far beyond anything of millions that could be given in this life. Friend, do you know today that you have this inheritance? And in a believer's heart, yes, we have this rich inheritance, but you know what can happen? Sometimes, friends, we can lose the sense of having this inheritance. It's almost like the bank vault has been shut and we've lost the combination to it. Or you come to the bank machine and you're trying to swipe your card to get some cash out, if you're still using cash, and you forget your PIN number. And you punch in all kinds of numbers and then your card freezes and you can't access it anymore. Sometimes that's the way we are with the peace of God. We have lost the sense of it. And we pushed all the numbers we know to do. Friend, what's the answer? We need to come back and humble ourselves before the Lord and fall upon our faces before Him and realize that maybe in our life sin has caused the loss of this peace. That's exactly what happened to David, you know. When he sinned with Bathsheba, when he sinned that led to a horrific calamity of events in his life, David came in Psalm 51 and he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy that once I had. Because I lost out, Lord, with you, he said, because of my sin and my disobedience. And believer, maybe in your heart you've lost out the sense of the peace of God and His joy because there's some sin that has not been confessed. You know what it is. Every time you come to pray, it comes up before your mind. Maybe that's been part of the problem. Maybe it is the whole problem. So we have to get before the Lord and humble ourselves. Do well to pray over Psalm 51. Pray over it. Because in praying over it, we're praying its truth into our heart. And it then becomes our prayer. It then becomes our very devotion before the Lord. And we're saying to God today, Lord, I've lost out somewhere, someplace. And I pray that You would restore maybe the years that the locusts of sin have eaten. Maybe the years, friend, you've not had the joy or the peace of the Lord in your heart as once you knew it. Well, don't delay any longer. Don't put off any more. Don't try to fill up the void with other stuff from the world. It doesn't work. It will never fill that emptiness and void. The Lord says it's like a dog going back to its vomit and eating it again. The very thought is repulsive to us. Ah, friend, let us not think to depend upon the faltering, bogus peace treaties that the devil would bring to our minds. Let's come back to the gift, the inheritance that Christ has given, that He has promised to us. Because He has made peace with God for us through the blood of His cross, He has reconciled us to His Father, and He has promised us here, I have something for you, and I will give it to you. You see, when a man possesses this gift, we not only have real peace, it is a lasting state that neither diminishes nor erodes with time. Now, just having said that it's possible for us to lose the consciousness of this, but when it comes right down to it, God does not take His peace away from us. There may be some kind of a disconnect. We may be clouded. We can't see it clearly. But the Lord has His hands always open to us. That blessing is always there. He wants His children to enjoy His peace, always. He does not want us to be in turmoil. That's why Paul could say, I have learned. It's taken time, but I have learned that my outward circumstances are not the thing that should affect the peace in my heart. I have to confess it's been many times it has been the case. But I've grown in the Lord now. I've matured, the apostle said. And now I know that if I don't have any money in the bank, so be it. I have Christ in my heart. If I have a lot of money in the bank, or I have enough money in the bank, I'm not going to depend on that. Because I have Christ in my heart, and that's far better. Because riches take themselves wings and they fly away. And then what? What at all we depended on? No, friend. When you realize your dependence is upon the inheritance that Jesus has promised to us, so much more than anything that can be ever purchased of this life's goods. It is the most precious possession that we have. When I say the most precious, of course, in the soul, salvation that we have in God, that's the possession, the gift He has given to us. But of course, the peace of God flows out from that very salvation that Jesus is talking about. Once we have it, you would not trade that for anything in this life. May the comfort and the reality of this truth and this promise that Jesus has spoken today, friend, let it grip and control your mind. Why is it that so many people are distressed today? And so-called depressed today, and on medication today. A lot of times, friend, you know, it's because the peace of God is not ruling in their heart and mind. And when we have the Lord's peace in us, you can be torpedoed and bombarded and overwhelmed, it seems, by so much of the stuff in the world, but you're resting on the promise that Jesus has given to us. And when you're resting on that promise, I don't need anything else. Because I have Him. And that's all I need. And I will stand upon the promise and this great inheritance that my Lord has given to me. And there is no equivocation in it. There is no uncertainty in it. There is never a time you're going to go to the bank of God or to the bank machine, if we could use that carnal illustration, and say, Lord, I need more peace, that you're going to find the Lord saying, no more for you, you've had enough. The Lord's not doing that. He is always going to say, "My child, I give you plenty. Come and receive all." And this is the inheritance that is inexhaustible that Christ Jesus gives to us. My God is able to supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My friend, it is not out of the riches of God, for that would mean it would be diminished. But it is according to the wealth and the riches of God. It's never diminished, but it's always being replenished. Because the fountain of the peace of God, it never runs dry. It's always flowing fresh, always and constant. One final thought today. This peace will never be withdrawn, nor can it be improved upon. Our Lord said in our text, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because I'm not giving it to you as the world would give it to you." A peace that can never and will never be withdrawn, and it can't be improved upon. "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." How different is the peace that the Lord brings to us in our lives? Well, of course, it means that we have fellowship with Him. That's the evidence. Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, we have a peace with God, being justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that our sins have been forgiven. Therefore, the penalty of our sin has been gone. If I have peace with God, then necessarily I have the peace of God in me. It will never be taken away. And we love His Word. His law is within my heart. And He has given me the mind of Jesus, the mind of His peace. And in all these things, friend, I possess this most priceless jewel." So, believer, why do we let our hearts be troubled? That's a good question. Why do we allow ourselves to be troubled? Why do we worry? You know why? Because we look horizontally. That's why. We worry because we're looking at all things from a human perspective. Instead of having our eyesight lifted vertically, heavenward, in all situations. Because if we view the things of life from a heaven's perspective, then we can have that blessed and holy contentment of casting all our care upon the Lord, for He cares for us. So we can say, "Let the storms rage if they will. Let the world be upside down if it will. Let all of these things that affect us come as they will. I know my God is in control of all things, and I trust in His providential care. I leaned my everything upon Him, and I trust in the Lord, and I want to walk with God." And in doing those things, we will have His peace. And my friend, it produces so much in the Christian's life. It gives to us happiness. It gives to us a holy contentment. There is stability in an unsettled world. We're standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. Let the storms come. We're grounded on Him. The house of our soul will stand for time and for eternity. And we also then will display the evidence of God's peace in us to a world that is upset and wondering, "Why do you have this peace in you?" And we're able then to say, "Because, friend, it's something that I have been given. I haven't done it myself. It is the grace of God, the visible testimony that we are in Christ, is that to the world a great advertisement of Christ in us. Friend, if you don't have the Lord today, why are you delaying? Why are you putting off? The Lord commands, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. Today, God has given you this opportunity. Then come, confess your sins. Call out to the Lord to be saved. And when you do, you will know the burden of your sin lifted. You will know peace in your heart as never you have known before. Believer, let us take Christ at His word and rest on Him now. We bow in prayer. Father, I pray that today You would come to heal the hurting hearts. That You would come to help those who are distressed. And You would come to teach us all, Lord, that we need to walk by faith and not by our visible sight. Give great grace, Lord, upon families that are hurting. Lord, may Your peace be drawn over as a covering garment, as a great umbrella, as a shade by day and by night. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon everyone, not only here in the building, but listening online today, for the honor of Your great name. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.